Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tuesday, July 12, 2016, Reedy City Council meeting. And I'd like to call the meeting to order. And at this time, I'd like to ask you to stand with us and for the invocation of the Pledge of Allegiance. The invocation will be by Joe Glick, Director of Community Services, and the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Fast.
Please pray with me. God, thank you for the opportunity that we can meet here and have discussion. I want to pray for our country in the time of need. We've had families that have experienced loss in this last week, and we pray for guidance and healing for them. Lord, I want to pray for our department heads and city staff to give them wisdom and knowledge. I also want to pray for the decisions that our city manager and city council makes for our community as we move towards, as we move forward in our new fiscal year. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Could you join the council in our flag salute? Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Betancourt, here. Councilmember Beck?
Here.
Councilmember Fast?
Here.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Here.
Mayor Salino?
Here. Agenda approval, are there any additions or deletions?
No, Mayor, none from staff.
All right. Do I have a motion and a second?
Motion.
Second.
Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Public comment provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the council on items which are of interest, which are in public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on agenda this evening. It's a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. And at this time, is there any public comment? Seeing none, going to public hearing. Ordinance, with respect to the approval of ordinance, the reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive the full reading, the reading of it, and complete ordinance, and unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full, further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have three items, and all three will be public hearings. And the first, introduction of the first reading of the ordinance of 2016-003, ordinance of the City Council, City of Reedley, repealing and replacing its entirety, Title 4, Chapter 2, pertaining to the public nuisance, adding Chapter 12 to the Title of 5, pertaining to the graffiti abatement, amending Section 6-2-4 and 6-2-5 of the Title 6, and repealing and replacing its entirety, Title 10, Chapter 16, pertaining to the property maintenance standards. And at this time, we have the Committee Development and Fire that will answer any questions from the council. Is there any council questions?
Yes, I do have a question, or just a concern. On page, now I have to find it. It's just there. I think I can do it from memory, but where it talks about the, I found it. On page 15, we're speaking about graffiti, and
if you allow us to find that page first.
Okay, I'm sorry. On the actual ordinance, page Page 15, the top of the page. We had changed the amount of time from 72 hours to 48 hours. And my question is, can the city respond in this time frame as well as the public?
Yes.
Okay, so if there's graffiti on a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, somebody's going to come on Sunday and paint the graffiti over if it's on a public building that's owned by the city?
Russ, do you want to get it?
Yeah, we do not have staff that work on the weekends. We do have call-out staff that if it's, you know, if police department deems that it's something that needs to be removed immediately, then we do have staff on call all through the weekend. We typically will have graffiti removed within 48 hours after we're notified of such graffiti on public property. So I'm confident in saying that we can adhere to that policy to the best of our ability.
I just hope that if there's a situation for a private party that gets graffitied and it's not dealt with in 48 hours, that you would also have that grace. And that's probably my biggest concern in many of the items here, is that the city also follow the regulations that we're setting out here. We're setting some pretty tight regulations, and I just want to make sure, if you're asking us as the public to do these things, then we as the city need to follow the same rules. Thank you.
Do you have some more?
No, that's all.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other council member? Seeing none, this is a public hearing, ladies and gentlemen. So at this time, I'd like to open the public hearing. And is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll turn it back to the council for their wishes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
No.
Mayor Cellino?
Yes. Going into item number two, adoption resolution number 2016-070, increasing the water utility rate per the attached Exhibit A, and authorize an annual inflationary adjustment for future rate increases each July 1st as needed, beginning July 1st, 2017. At this time, I'd like to call Public Works, Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor and City Council. Staff is recommending the adoption of Resolution 2016-070, which would increase water utility rates to be effective August 1st, 2016. This would also authorize an annual inflationary adjustment to rates, which that would increase future rates each July 1st, beginning July 1st, 2017, and that would be as needed. If I may, I'd like to provide just a real brief history and overview of how we got to this point in time that we need to raise our water utility rates. In 2004, the California legislature, it passed Assembly Bill 2572, and that Assembly Bill required all water utilities to install water meters on all of its customers and services. That law also required that metered services be billed at a consumptive rate. So essentially, water revenues can fluctuate based on the consumption of the city's residents. Well, due to the last several years of drought conditions, as well as the mandate by the state of California that the city reduce its water use by 24%, our revenues have trended downward. And as a result of this, if water rates are not increased to make up for that loss of revenue, the city will not be able to meet its annual debt obligation, and the fund would no longer be able to remain solvent. Staff has mentioned before that the city of Reedley is not alone with these revenue shortfalls. Many cities throughout California are faced with the need to raise water utility rates because of revenue shortfalls. I was speaking to our former administrative services director this morning, And he informed me that the city of Tulare this month is raising its water and sewer 20%. So that's an example. I know Mr. Korn, who's going to speak in a second, has a lot of other examples as well. But this is not a unique situation to the city of Reedy. The state, for lack of a better word, has kind of brought us to this situation that we're in today. Regarding the water utility rates, we have held three separate public workshops in an effort to get information out to the public and explain why the watering rate increases are needed. We held one of our public workshops at the community center, and we had about 21 people attend. And that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but that is actually a record for us for a utility rate workshop. And I do want to say that the people that attended asked fantastic questions, and they received the information very well. Everybody was very polite and kind, and it actually went on and on, where they asked about other city business, and it lasted a couple hours. We didn't get out of there till after 8 o'clock, and it started at 6. So, but it was a great meeting, and we relished the opportunity to inform our public of why we have to do these things. It's not just because we feel like we need to do it. I mean, this is not something that staff nor the council like to do. It's a necessity that's placed upon us. Once again, we have Sean Korn with us. He's vice president of HDR Engineering. They obviously did the water rate study for the city of Reedy. And I asked Sean to come and provide just a brief summary of the rate structure process, as well as just give us an overview of the specifics of the proposed water rates. So I'd like to ask Sean to do that at this time.
Thank you, Russ. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Appreciate the opportunity to be here with you tonight. As Russ said, we have a much briefer presentation than we've had in the past, and it's basically a quick summary of the rate study that we completed. And I'll start out, if I can remember how to turn this on, with the study conclusions and recommendations. And as Russ mentioned, rate adjustments are necessary to meet the operating and capital costs going forward over the next 5-year period. We have to meet our funding for our O&M expenses, and we also have to maintain our debt service coverage ratio, which is a requirement when the city issued debt to fund projects. So we need to maintain a specific level of revenues to meet that coverage requirement as provided in the bond documents. We also have to go through what's called a cost of service analysis to determine the equitable allocation of cost to provide the justification for the rates we are charged, that you will are we are proposing to charge going forward if approved by the City Council. We develop those proposed rates based on normal, quote, consumption level. And what that means is we've gone back, and remember, as a part of the study, we're also recommending a drought rate structure. And in order to maintain the normal water consumption, have not used the most recent consumption level. So we haven't used the decline in consumption of about 25% over the last year or two. We've actually used something slightly higher than that, because as the drought changes, gets better, goes away, then revenues will go back to those normal levels going forward. We have proposed drought rates as part of this, as I said, but tonight we're not asking you to approve, we're asking you to approve the drought rate structure, but we're not asking you to implement a drought stage at this point in time. And there's a couple reasons for that. One of those is the city is waiting to hear back from the state on the next steps going forward for what conservation means. Going through the self-certification process to set your own conservation levels, we have not heard back what those, if they agree to that, or what those levels may be. The other piece is we're going to look at recent consumption, and staff will be back in front of you at a later date if needed to set a specific drought stage level. As Russ said, we held a public outreach meeting, and we've had 2 meetings, I believe, with the council to walk through this process. A couple of the key issues throughout the rate study is all customers are now metered and billed a metered rate. And as Russ mentioned, we've had a decline in consumption due to the state mandated conservation. So that's obviously had an impact on the revenues of the utilities. And as he said, it's an issue across the state. A couple of weeks ago, I was in the city of Stockton. We were raising rates 19.5%. Modesto's increasing rates over 80% or up to 80% over the next 4-year period. Wow. Sacramento's going 40% over the next 4 years. And so there's a lot of different reasons why utilities are having to increase rates right now. One of the constants is the reduction in revenues due to the drought and conservation impacts. So it's hitting utilities across the state right now. Northern California is a little better off because of the supply of water, but there's still issues with a lot of utilities there. The issue is that rate revenues, so the revenues received from your customers, that when from the bills, that is the primary funding source. So for the city, it makes up 96% of the revenue needed to maintain and operate the utility. There's a very little piece of other revenues coming to the enterprise fund, the water enterprise fund, to fund it. So when you start having a decline in those revenues, that really has an impact on operations. So we do have to follow Proposition 218 process, and it's a legal requirement for setting and implementing property-related rates and fees, and it's California Constitution Article 13D. And what this does through the cost of service process is set the maximum rates that can be adopted over the time period we're reviewing. And it requires that we have that cost basis or justification of why we're charging the rates we are. And so we've gone through that process of the rate study. We've determined what those overall rate adjustments need to be. We've determined how that's allocated between the customer classes and developed those proposed maximum rates over the next, for the current fiscal year, and then proposed inflationary adjustments going forward. It does require a customer notification process, which was sent out to all the customers. We have to have a minimum of 45 days, and then we hold this hearing, which is what was done. If there's not a majority protest, so 50% plus one of the customers, the number of accounts, do not send any letter or file a protest tonight during the public hearing, then you as a city council may implement the proposed rates. And again, those are the maximum rates over the next time period. So the revenue requirement did show the need for revenue adjustments. And this is a quick graphical summary. We have our years going across 2015-16 through 2020-21. And the blue or the bottom part of each year is the O&M expenses. The green is the debt service component. That's what drives our debt service coverage needs. The red is rate funded capital. So that's annual maintenance. That's the checking the oil in the car, changing the oil. That's what you have to do on the water system as well. Maintain the pipes, the pumps, all of those things that provide water to your customers. So you can see the dashed line going across, that is the current level of revenues. So we're short in each of these years as we go out through time. And that's what's driving that need. And that is lower than historical revenues due to the decline in the consumption. So based on that, we developed a rate transition plan. In fiscal year 16-17, so this current fiscal year, we're proposing a 9.5% rate adjustment and then inflationary adjustments each year thereafter. And that inflationary adjustment will be based on an average historical CPI. So that'll be adjusted each year. For purposes of this presentation, in the report, and in the information to your customers, we've put numbers in there based at 2.5%, but that number may change based on the actual numbers each year looking backwards. So for a customer this fiscal year, an average customer using 10,000 gallons of water a month, the bill would go from $35.41 up to $40.35. And then you can see it's roughly a dollar increase each year thereafter. So we also allocated the costs to each customer class, and this chart here shows how we've allocated those costs. And what it showed is that residential rates needed to go up more than what other customer rates have to go up. And part of this is the requirement of Prop 218 and recent legal decisions. We need to follow these results going forward to set rates, and that provides that cost justification and the basis for what those rates are being set.
Could I ask a question on that?
Absolutely.
So that's real detailed what you just presented. So was that presented in detail also when we had the community forums?
Yes.
As far as why it would be more for the consumer versus any other user?
Yeah, we walked through how we allocated costs, and we talked about it gets into average day use and peak day use, number of customers on the system. We went through that whole process with that group. We had about, I think, 5 or 6 slides just on this topic to walk through how this is completed.
And then also how it would go up each respective year?
Yes.
For that 5-year period?
Yes.
My question with that is if and so we remain in a drought,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully we don't. God's blessing, we don't. But if we do and things got progressively worse, this particular rate structure, if the council entertains to approve it, and we do, and things get progressively worse, we still, the sitting council will still have an opportunity to come back and revisit that, or is that kind of just the plan for the 5 years?
No, you can come back and revisit it at any time. If you want to increase rates more than what we proposed during this time period, you can adjust those at any time. You just have to go through another Prop 218 process. So you'd have to notify customers about a rate change and wait 45 days minimum and then hold another public hearing.
If the pendulum swings the other way, though, when you say things are plentiful and we can go back to the previous structure, we don't have to do that, do we?
No, if you implement or choose to implement rates lower than what we've proposed.
No. What I'm saying, say we're in a rate structure and it keeps mm-hmm. going up, but then all of a, I thought I heard you say, like, if you have the ability to go back to a structure which you were charging before.
You can go lower than what we've proposed, but I typically wouldn't recommend going back to the structure that's in place today. I would maintain the structure that we've proposed, but you could reduce those rates as part of that.
But say within that structure you propose and we have adopted, say you're up to the 5th year.
Mm-hmm.
So you've gone up a dollar. So now does the city have the ability to say, wait a minute, we look pretty good here. It's plentiful, you know. So can we come back to, say, the structure for the 1st year or the
yes.
2nd year?
Absolutely.
Okay, but it wouldn't require?
No. Okay. It's a council action. Those are the maximum. These here are the actual rate schedule. Those are the maximum rates that you can approve without another Proposition 218 process. You can go anything below those at any point in time. So based on the rate design, the revenue requirement, and cost of service analysis, we developed those proposed rates. And we've adjusted the structure slightly as part of this, where a meter or the service charge is the same regardless of a customer type. So if you're a residential customer and have a 1-inch meter, and you're a commercial customer and you have a 1-inch meter, those charges are now the same where they aren't today as part of the study. And so that's one of the changes we made and one of the requirements now under the most recent legal decisions is to make sure that we have the cost basis for each of those charges. The consumption is based on that new normal level of consumption and based on that rate transition plan. And again, the drought rates are in addition to the rates. So prior to the drought rates, if we just take the current rates, then these are the impacts to a customer at various different levels. So zero use, the bill would increase from $26.71 to $30.35. To a high use customer of 20,000 gallons in a month, would go from $44.66 to $50.60. So you can see how that impacts the larger users. It's a slightly greater increase based on the amount of water they use. And that's part of that is also the increasing rate structure that you have that we've proposed here.
Can you go back to that? I have a question. I want to make sure I understand that. So if you're looking at the user that's using 5,000 gallons,
mm-hmm.
it was at 31, so it goes up to 35. But that's at 5,000 gallons?
Correct.
But then I look at the user with 20,000 gallons. So they're only going to pay a difference of $6 for using that much water?
Correct. And that's based on the tiered rate structure that we have.
That's a big significance. I mean, 15,000 gallons.
I have some hidden charts back here for you. So what that's based on is the bottom half of this sheet. So the top half is the meter charge or the service charge. So everybody pays the same. If they have a 3/4 or 1 inch, it's $30.35 proposed. And then the commodity charge. So the 0 to 15,000, the proposed rate is $1 per 1,000 gallons. So everybody pays that. So up to 15,000, you're only paying $1 per 1,000. Then that next 5,000 gallons is $1.05. And that's what makes that differential in there.
Right, I understand that. What I'm having a problem accepting is the amount that they pay for using that much more water.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, one of the issues we have is that we can only charge for the cost of the commodity coming out. Help me out here. We can't charge them more just because they're using that much
Correct.
More water, because it doesn't cost us that much more to pull the water out of the ground. This is what the San Juan Capistrano
Correct.
Lawsuit was about. They had tiered rates that penalized people who used more water, and in fact they couldn't justify that penalty rate. And so, in fact, we would love to be able to charge more when people take more water out as a way to help conserve more. But in fact, there is that decision now from the Supreme Court that says we cannot do that. So that's why you don't see that exponential increase in pricing for the exponential increase in gallons.
Okay. I have another question. Thank you for your explanation. So from 5,000, okay, so if the person goes and doubles that to 10,000, they're only going to pay the difference of what?
$5 roughly.
$5, right?
Yeah.
And if they want to go all the way to 15,000, so really, if a person doesn't mind paying that, they're going to use it, right? They're going to
Correct.
Use that water.
Your customers will respond to that overall level of the bill, what that monthly payment is. That's really what grabs folks' attention. It grabbed my attention when I got a bill last summer that was much higher than what it was before. And I realized I was watering much more frequently than I was before. So that's one of the challenges of this is it's about, since it's $1 per 1,000 gallons, for every 5,000 gallons, it goes up approximately $5 until you hit that next tier for over 15,000, then it goes up $1.05 per 1,000.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. So if the ratepayers decided, like, you know what, doesn't bother me, charge me what you're going to charge me, and everyone gets this mentality of saying, and I'm not going to use 5 because I want my garden or my house mm-hmm. or whatever, I'm going to use all the way to 15. How are we conserving them there? Because we're going to be using a lot of water. I mean, they're paying for it, but we're really not getting to where we want to get, hit that benchmark of conserving water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Just keep in mind that all of our residents do have to adhere to our water conservation ordinance, which specifies days and times they can water. So our water department's very good about going after water wasters. So it's not really a mentality that I'm just going to flood irrigate because it's only $5 more. You know, they do have to still operate within our conservation ordinance.
I fully understand that, but I understand how our ordinance works. So certain set hours, but if a person says, like, this is my day, mm-hmm. and if I have a system that can go on 10 times a day, or I don't even have to have a system, if I want to physically be moving my sprinkler every and water every 2 hours, you know, in the course of that time, and then in the evening start again, and as people are late,
I guess
what I'm trying to get at is, like, I know we're charging people, and you know, they should be charged for the use of water, but what are we really doing, though, to make sure that we're going to conserve? That's the main thing, because if we had another 2 or 3 years this, you're going to be right before us again and say, like, you know, we have to redo this entirely. And I think the city did an exemplary job in the last, I'll take a guess here, but the last 8 years, if not more, as far as regulating it and putting in meters and doing all those type of things. But I just, I guess I'm a little uncomfortable with the fact that people still have that latitude, mm-hmm. that flexibility to say, like, and once I understand my chart and what I have to pay, it's like, okay, so if you're going to charge me $10 more a month, who cares about how much water am I using? You know, and that's what I'm a little uncomfortable with.
Right. Keep in mind that within the parameters of the water conservation ordinance, there's also a water waste, you know, section that you really can't just continuously water during your day and time, because if your yard soaks to the point that water's running over the sidewalk, then you're in violation. So there's some things in there that, you know, keep kind of a handle on those that would want to just continuously water during their allowable times.
I will say that I do see, so let's take landscape watering out of the equation, which is the biggest use of water in a city, but let's say you're running your laundry all the time and something like that. That's why you saw all of the cities so up in arms over the San Juan Capistrano case, and I think what we'll end up seeing over the course of the next few years, assuming the drought continues, which I do think it will, I think you will see some revisions to maybe not the San Juan case itself, but you'll see some revisions to the way the state allows us to do conservation. So I hear what you're saying, and there will always be those cases where we won't be able to have people conserve what they're using inside their home, because we won't have water waste police inside their home. But ultimately, if the state can create a law that allows us to do some sort of conservation measure for total gallons used, and that passes the court test, that's where I think we're going to get to what you're saying, which is those people who simply have the extra $10 and so they're going to use it. Yeah.
Okay. That's it? Any of the council questions or staff?
Yes, I have some questions. So this rate study that we did determines the maximum rates that can be adopted. And that's what's on this rate schedule, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so if we chose to make this less than this, we could?
If you chose to make it less than 9.5%, which is really the year we're focused on here in 16-17, the council could do that. But I will say that we are tight on our debt service coverage ratio already with the reduction in revenues, and that may bring that down below where our target would be. So the first year is somewhat of a set number in the sense to meet our coverage ratios and maintain that. So in the out years is really where you have more latitude on if you implement the CPI or inflationary index.
Well, I see the service meter charge is like $4 to go to this next the August date, but I do see that the charge per gallon for the 1,000 gallons is like 13% rather than just the 9%. And if you turn over the page, which my understanding was to the stage two is where we were at, that would be about 48% increase, not 9%.
So on the drought rates, let me get to that slide. So if you were to go to stage two, as the example here, which you showed, the per unit per 1,000 gallon charge would increase from $1 to $1.35 per 1,000 gallons.
Increase from 87 cents, which is what it is.
Correct,
now.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, that's correct. From the present rate, yes.
Yeah, so it'd increase 48 cents per 1,000 gallons.
Correct. And again, we're asking you to adopt those drought rates, but we're not asking you to implement those at this point in time, those drought rates.
So our bill effective August the 1st will be the $30.35 plus the $1 per 1,000 gallons.
For the first 10,000 and then $1.05 okay. for the next 10,000.
Okay.
15,000, sorry.
Okay. And then I had a question on the hearing, the 218 hearing paperwork that we were sent as individual recipients. And on the second page of that, it talks about the drought rates are proposed. but it doesn't really say anything about what causes that or what the city's conservation plan, who mandates that, being the state. So was that discussed at all during your meetings with people? In reading through this, I would not have been able to pull out of that that there would be a chance that we would have, it says drought rates are proposed, but it doesn't say how those get implemented.
Yes, that's been discussed at all of our workshops, including the two that were before council. That's not me, I hope.
Okay. I'm gonna shut off just for a second.
Okay.
It was also discussed in detail at the community center when we had that public workshop there. The main purpose of a Prop 218 notice is to put the rates in front of the residents and to announce that there's going to be a public hearing about the rate structure that the city's proposing. So the public hearing tonight.
Okay, sorry. The public hearing tonight is basically where we bring all the details of the rate structure into play for the public to hear. So Prop 218 notice is to notify the residents, here's the drought, the water rate structure that the city is proposing for its residents. There's a public hearing to discuss that and go over details of that and for them to be able to have their say in opposition or support at that time. Is there anything there?
The only thing I would add is that the stage will be a policy level by the council based on recommendations from staff. As an example, Double San Ramon Services District, they, even though they were in a stage 2 drought, they only implemented stage 1 drought rates. And the reason for that is they were still meeting their revenue needs. And so based on your conservation plan, what your target will be, some declaration of drought by the governor like we're in now, mm-hmm. and then looking at the level of consumption that we used in the rate study and where your customers are actually at would drive what stage you would be at. You could theoretically, in like the example I said, have a stage 2 drought in effect, but only implement stage 1 drought rates, because you'll still meet your revenue needs based on that. So that is more of a policy decision by the council and staff to move that forward based on your specific customers, your conservation plan and goals at that time. And that would also come for you to take that off. The drought goes away or lessens, then staff would be in front of you recommending to reduce the drought stage or to eliminate that from the rate process.
Any other questions? From council? I have one question, Russ, and this would be for you and John. We know, and the letter says out here, if the water rates are not increased, the city will be unable to meet its annual debt obligation, and the fund will no longer remain solvent. Now, we know we've asked the public to work with us and reduce consumption, and they've done a fantastic right. job. My question is, if the rates are not increased, I don't know if you can answer this, where would the city have to cut back if we don't meet that obligation?
Well, for the last 2 years, we haven't met our revenue requirements for the water division. And we've cut back as much as possible, even with the cost of chlorine continuing to rise. I know John's in the room, Ornelas, our water supervisor, he can nod his head and attest that we have cut everything we possibly could have cut on the budget to make it work. If the city, as you know, the city bonded to put in water meters, which was a state mandate. We've bonded to put up the water tower and well 14, our newest well. That's a debt obligation that we have to meet. So when our revenues dip, essentially, if we do not meet our debt obligation and the fund does not remain solvent, there is a possibility that if we don't do that, the state can come over and take over the water utility. That is the last resort. Yes, if we can't, you know, take care of it ourselves.
Okay, so most of our costs are fixed. So our benefits costs, our workers' compensation costs, our our personnel costs for salaries that are negotiated through MOU. Then we have all of our chlorine, our chemicals, all of those costs that are fixed. So we really have very little wiggle room to try to cut back. We could cut staff, but then what we have is, as meters need to be replaced, as meter radios need to be replaced, they don't get replaced, which means we don't get the revenue in that we need. So you're along the right path that we don't have many choices right now because we're running a budget that is just so tight as all the other costs have escalated around us. So.
And if the state was to take over,
then our 9.5% water increase would look pretty small compared to what they would do. Yeah.
I just have one comment. I was kind of looking over the base water rates. Since 2007, our base water rate was $28.55.
Yeah.
It's going to $30.35.
Right.
I understand that we went into a metering system, but in reality, we've kind of been robbing Peter to pay Paul all along. And we've did the CPIs. However, we actually have not had a rate adjustment for 9 years.
Correct. Not a substantial one, like a 9.5% I would consider substantial, not just an inflationary increase.
We added meters, and I understand that's an adjustment, but that was a mandate by the state to begin with.
You are correct.
So we didn't really have an adjustment. We just met a requirement by the state at that time. So in reality, our adjustment hasn't happened for almost 9 years.
I would agree with that, yes. If I could add just one more comment about the drought rate structure, too. The reason why cities are looking at this to implement the drought rate structure is to avoid future rate increases of a 9.5%. It's, you know, our revenues are fluctuating with drought and conservation requirements that are coming from the state because of, you know, the state's mandate for meters and mandate for consumption-based billing. So putting a drought rate structure in place allows the council at any given time to say, we are now under a, you know, God forbid we have continued drought, but we're under stage two. We can simply raise rates at that time, the small percent, which is from $1 to $1.12 or, you know, whatever it may be, to stabilize our revenues at that time and not wait 3 years later to heavy hit our residents again, like we're having to do tonight. So that's a piece that, you know, Sean brought to our attention, said other cities are doing it. We looked at it. Yeah, this is great. This allows our council to make the policy decision to keep our revenues online as things change around us.
And without having to go through another Proposition 218 process. So you're able to react or be proactive and implement those drought rates when you know the drought's occurring or you're changing stages and maintain revenues without having to wait at a minimum 2 months to change rates through a Prop 218 process. So it gives you that flexibility in the future. Should this happen again, as significant or continues, you're able to adjust those rates without having to go through that process again for the next several years.
I don't know. I think the rate structure speaks for itself. I'm not saying it's good anytime something goes up, whether it's the price of milk, the price of gas, the price of clothes, shoes for your kids. It goes up. It's the cost of living, you know. And I think it's good, you know, based on what you said, going up, you know, a dollar versus going up $5 or $6 every time you increase it, because then that kind of rattles people and they're going like, well, wait a minute, you just assessed me $5-$6 a couple years ago. Now you're going to do it again. You know, so I think having a structure where it demonstrates that there's a need to sustain our system, our infrastructure, chlorine, the cost of, again, providing water for our residents is good. And as long as the community had the opportunity to attend these forums or these presentations that you had, and I know that staff is planning to put some of that information also on the web and our billing and so forth, that, you know, we're doing everything that we can to not only inform but educate the public why we need to do what we need to do. And I don't like for the state to take over anything, because that just demonstrates that you can't run your city. Your management and your city council is inept. They're ineffective. And some cities, that'll probably happen because of whatever, the turmoil, or people are reluctant to do what the state is designing. But I have all the confidence in our staff that they've been doing it well all along, even before I got on this council. I'm saying that for the last 20 years that I've been in, really, you know, I've seen the plan, the blueprint, and what they needed to do, and more wells and more infrastructure. And I mean, it's all been done in a very strategic, informative fashion. And if you're only getting 20-something odd people to a public forum, and sometimes we get less, right? You said it was a record breaker. To me, you know what that demonstrates is they have confidence in our staff and the people that are doing the work for the public. So, again, I want to say that the rate structure is the way to go, in my opinion.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Seeing none, this is a public hearing, ladies and gentlemen. And at this time, what I would like to do is, does anyone from the public wish to turn in a written protest?
Gentlemen, Mr. Speaker.
Is that a written protest?
Not a written protest. I just wanted to follow on to this comment section.
All right.
Please.
Now, if anybody in the audience would like to address the council, and you're there, so go ahead.
Oh, thank you. My name is Jack Worthington. I live over at Victoria Square Apartments. In May of last year, Ride Equities, the owner, bumped or put a surcharge of $35 a month on each apartment. They blame the drought. The apartments individually are not equipped with water meters. So an individual doesn't have a feedback mechanism to tell him whether or how well he is conserving. Okay? It's a big problem. If they charge $35 for a single person and another apartment has three or four, that single person is forced to subsidize those other three or four. To me, that's commie socialism. I don't like it. I think it's wrong. Now, if Right Equities is going to continue to do this, then I would like the city to sit down and talk with them and say, look, you got an apartment dweller over here, he uses probably 1,000, maybe 2,000 gallons of water a month. And even allowing for some additional watering, he's not using anywhere near 10,000 gallons. But he's paying, but you're charging $35 a month, and that's before, or that's on top of whatever water charge they had included in the rent previous. So I'd like the city to sit down and have a chat with them and say, hey, you're a little out of line here. You better back off. I don't know whether you're going to do that or not, but I thought I'd throw it in there. So it would have been nice if the city had mandated that these apartment owners go in and, you know, amortized over time, but install these water meters on each apartment, just like we have gas meters and electric meters. I think that would have been very helpful. Maybe they would have had to bump the rent, I don't know, $10 a month, but at least it would be in there and we would have control. We would be then not dependent so much, but more independent. And that's essentially the essence of what we're supposed to have here in America. Now, Rick Rodriguez, I empathize with your position. I believe in price, supply, and demand. If the demand drops, then the producer has some options. He can either reduce his price or he can increase his supply to try and compensate for the drop in demand. Maybe he'll get more, or maybe he'll induce some demand. Now, government, unfortunately, I don't know how to handle this, but we have a monopoly. There's a monopoly on water. I think Reedy only has one water producer. I don't think there's competing water supplies. So in a real market, well, we don't have a real market for water. it's probably the same way with electricity and maybe gas. There are just maybe a few, one or two providers. Pardon me. It would be nice if there was competition. Okay, so we don't have it. So down the road we go. I'm sorry. But we should keep that in mind when we're managing people, especially as government. Hey, we've got a monopoly here. Let's don't hurt people. Let's try and keep that in mind. Now, I want to, of course, you all probably know the parallel. California and some others, maybe the nation, imposed some kind of requirements for fuel-efficient cars. And sure enough, people came along and they said, yeah, we'll do what you tell us to do. And they did it. And then lately, in the last year or so, the state government has been complaining, says, we're not getting the revenue because people have fuel-efficient cars. So the people did what the government asked, and now the government's coming back, and we're going to punish the people. That's shameful. That is so shameful. And the same thing is happening here with water. The people conserve the water, and now the government come back and say, now we got to punish you with higher rates. It's painful. It's really painful. I don't know about you, but I don't know where else we can go. I wish I had an answer for you, but at least at Victoria Squares and Wright Equities, they could at least put in individual water meters. I don't know how much a water meter costs to install, but it could be amortized.
Yeah, you brought up a good question, and I don't know if we have a policy where when apartments are built, if water meter has to be installed in each item, in each apartment.
We don't, and they are 3,000 a piece or so.
Is that what it is, 3,000?
Yeah, so that's why you won't see them. Okay. But I'll tell you what we can do. Let Russ and I get with you after the meeting or contact you later. We may have a different entity we can help you through with a landlord-tenant sort of. We'll talk after the meeting.
My brother-in-law lives over on Hope Avenue, and he said, yeah, we had to install water meters here some years ago. And I was wondering if there was a kind of a sweetheart deal where the meters could be installed, but they could be paid out over a number of years, sort of like an installment plan or something. So the renters don't get hit so hard. The Wright Equities and their profit margins is still, are somewhat intact. But
I'll tell you what, for the sake of the meeting, and I know the mayor has to move us on, why don't I have Russ take you and chat with you about that?
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your input. Anyone else have input in this item? See none? I will close the public hearing at this time and ask the city clerk if the city has received any more protests.
Mayor, we did receive one letter of protest.
Okay. All right, so we did not receive a majority of protests from the residents. Therefore, what are the council's wishes at this time? I'll ask for a motion.
But just for clarity again, we're adopting the structure but not implementing.
Yes.
Is that what I heard you say?
Doing both.
Yeah.
Yes.
For this year.
Correct. You're doing both. You're adopting the structure, and the proposed rates for 16-17 would become effective. The drought rate piece is not being implemented at this time.
Okay.
You're adopting it, but you're not implementing it. So the consumption rate for the first 10,000 is going from 87 cents to a dollar, but you're not implementing the $1.12 right now for stage one as an example.
Thank you.
Okay. So what is the council's wishes? Is there a motion?
Motion.
Second.
They moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Mayor Salida?
Yes. Going into item number 3, adopt resolution number 2016-071, living a fiscal year 2016 2017 annual assessment for the City of Reedy at Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1, and I'd like to turn over to City Engineer, Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council members, John Robertson, City Engineer. Item 3 before you tonight is the last step in the process of levying the annual assessments as required by state law for properties that fall within the Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1. On April 26th, the council ordered the preparation of the engineer's report, and on June 24th of this year, the report was presented before council and approved, and today's date was set for the public hearing to levy the assessment on the subject properties. As identified in the staff report that you have before you tonight, the city will collect approximately $166,118 for the cost of maintaining the landscape and street lighting within the Landscape and Lighting Maintenance District Number 1. This is an increase of approximately $3,473 above last year's rate or collection, which council approved with the CPI inflation factor to be applied to the properties within the district to cover increased costs that the contractor passes to the city due to increased labor costs or materials costs and other things. As of today, staff has not received any protests from the general public regarding this matter. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions from council? Mr. Robinson?
My only question is, like, in general, the public that's going to be impacted by this, they're pretty much aware?
Yes, they're notified as required for any public hearing that we hold. Through the processes through that we do.
But on this one, we didn't have any forums, any?
No, this does not follow the 218 process.
We don't need to do that?
No. Okay. That process was originally followed through the starting the Landscape and Lighting District Number 1, and in that it was set that we would bring before council annually the discussion of the CPI index increase or not.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
Yeah. John, am I correct that zones A through H do not fall under the increase?
That is correct. They are excluded from a CPI index increase annually.
And that is because when those zones were created, a CPI was not put into their enabling documentation. So those zones we heavily subsidize because they have not kept pace with inflation. That was one of Paul Malikian's items that he really... a burr under his saddle, but we heavily subsidize those particular areas because of that.
And there's no way that can change, Nicole?
There is. What we would need to do is go back through and readopt enabling documents, and essentially that goes through somewhat of a, not exactly a 218 notice, but something general. Similar where we would notify the residents and change those things.
And the reason I'm asking this because we're subsidizing for that, but yet on the other side, you know, we're telling people, like, we're not going to subsidize you. You have to pay what?
Yeah.
You know, so I think what's fair is fair. So if there's a process and there's an opportunity for us, not so much to capitalize on that, but just to have parity, to make it right,
mm-hmm.
we should think about approaching that.
It's definitely something I would like to have our new administrative services director look into as far as process and how much we're subsidizing, et cetera. So we can definitely do that.
Okay. Any other questions from council? Seeing none, this is a public hearing. I'll open the public for any public comment at this time. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. And back to the council, what is your wishes?
So move.
Moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second. Call for the question.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Battersworth?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Mayor Salino?
Yes. Thank you very much. Going into item number 4, just information for council and reports. Going into council reports, I'll start with Councilman Beck.
Well, the only thing I have is attended COG meeting the last week of June. We really had nothing that was pressing towards us right at the time. We did have a project that came up, and I believe I talked to John, was the money that was, we were getting, what was it, the $600,000 through? Yeah, it was something that was on with the transportation funds that were in part of the, they included into, we were looking at for, I believe it's one of the projects on Manning. Do we know where we stand on that would be the only thing I'm concerned about. It was part of the engineering program. Yeah, and
I believe you're talking about the monies that we received for the Manning Avenue widening.
Yes.
For the, it was RSTP dollars that we were awarded. We've been awarded, but now it's going through the process of getting on the FTIP and okay. process. So we won't be able to start really moving that project forward until it's approved by the and listed on the Federal Transportation Improvement Program, which won't be until the end of this year and starting next year.
Yeah, just kind of give a heads up. The reason I brought it up is we almost lost that money because it was in a cutoff slot,
right.
And they opened it up for us to receive that money because I believe it was Clovis Give Up a program or two.
Yes.
It was one of them. So that helped us get that money. And I thought it was kind of good that Clovis was willing to help the smaller cities out.
Well, it does because we helped Clovis out a few years ago.
Yeah.
So they were
but
a little
it's nice that they remember.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a scratch my back and
a
scratch.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. It was one of the first things I did when I started here, and I was scared to tell Nicole that I did that, but she was okay with it.
Yeah.
It's paid back.
Yeah. Yeah. The only other thing I had is we did the MOU signing up at Bryant with the Federal Bureau of Reclamation as far as the Temperance Flat Dam, we did a joint agreement with them so far,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to get the Bureau of BLM and Bureau of Land Management also on board because they're trying to hold 7 acres up there, and if that 7 acres goes through, it will shut the will basically shut the Temperance Flat Dam down, and so they're working real close. They think that is going to go away. So
really,
yeah, but I think that was a big step. There was a large number of people that was at present. It was actually one of the first times I ever seen the feds actually take notice of us, and it was kind of nice. And I believe they understand the importance of that dam above.
Exactly.
Frank, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. All right. Anything else?
That's it.
Mayor Pro Tem?
Nothing.
Nothing? Councilmember Fest?
I don't have anything. Oh. Thank you.
Councilmember Rodriguez?
Just a couple of comments. Want to thank our police department and fire department for the work that they were able to accomplish during 4th of July. If I got this right, I think there's like 7 or 8 citations that were issued. So it's my hope that those particular residents learned that they don't, that doesn't reoccur at their, you know, their place. But I think as a city, and I'm not putting it in our departments, but we still have a lot of work to do. I think if you would have gone on top of any one of these towers out here, you would have seen really like lit up to the max. I mean, it was really busy. I shared with Nicole that it's probably the worst that I've seen, you know, in several years. And I don't think it gets better. I just think we have a challenge, just like any other city. It's not just Reedley. But I think we have our work cut out for us. And what disturbs me and worries me is that, you know, a child can get seriously hurt because there's a lot of illegal stuff that's being ignited. And two, I would hate for a family to be displaced because someone's home burns down because of the use of that. So again, I know we did as good as we could with the manpower that we have, but we still need to put our minds together and come strategically come up with some other things that we can do. The other thing I wanted to comment on is I want to commend our Public Works Department. Again, this is a time of year that the parks are used excessively. And I think our staff has done an outstanding job maintaining all our parks. Of course, mm-hmm. most of you know I live right across the street from Citizens Park, and it's beautiful. But I can say the same for this, the park here across the street, Mueller Park, our sports park. Staff does a tremendous job. We have thousands of people using those parks, and we, I would put up really up against any city, you know, that we do an exemplary job maintaining our parks. So I want to thank our Public Works. And also, a few weeks ago, I was out at Cricket Hall early in the morning. And you know, you'll get some people there that wanting to get their boats launched and stuff. But I did notice, and purposely I asked them, I noticed a couple of youngsters, teenagers, cleaning up. And it was early morning. I go, excuse me, you work for the city? I know they didn't, you know. No. I'm here doing my duty, my penance. You know, it's like, I don't know if there was restorative justice or something, but I think we need to see more of that. I think that when kids are put to work and they clean their city, they clean their parks and so forth, and sometimes you need to pay that price. I just think they take a little bit more pride, and hopefully it's our hope that they don't become repeat offenders, you know. But I can remember back in the day when local judges would do that with a lot of teenagers. Mm-hmm. We got out of line, you know. They had, you're going to do community service, and if you didn't, well, now you're looking at juvenile hall or what have you. But anyway, I wanted to acknowledge that, and I think that the more of that we can see, and maybe sometimes we should get them downtown where the public can see them, and maybe embarrass them a little bit, so they can understand that we want the best environment. And it's not just the best environment for the people that sit up here, but for them just as well, mm-hmm. all the residents, and for them, mm-hmm. you know, because they go to the park too, and they play ball, or they're out there swimming or what have you. But anyway, those two things. Thank you.
Okay. I have only one question for Mr. Glick. At the river, you know, the beach is being used quite a bit on both sides. Now, do we still charge at the river?
Yes, we're charging $5 a carload or $5 a vehicle.
And that just on the weekend?
Yes.
Nothing during the week?
Nothing during the week.
And is that because of staff, lack of staff?
Yeah, staff, and then it varies, you know, from day to day. Usually the busiest times are the weekends.
Uh-huh. Now, do we cover the cost as far as a cleanup after the weekend?
Yes.
I know that, you know, past you said it would take 2 days to clean up the weekend.
Our crews do that, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, we do cover the cost for the staff is there, and we do bring in, I think this last year, we brought in about $23,000 in revenue.
Is that right? And I'm just asking because public has been asking a question, do we cover the cost of what's taking place at the river? All right.
We probably end up subsidizing cleanup. The river entry covers having the staff out there, which is important for more than just taking the money. It's important for the safety purpose of having the staff out there.
Right.
But we end up subsidizing the cleanup. So we don't completely cover the cost with the revenue that comes in, no.
So would it be beneficial to raise the price or just leave it where it's at?
I think leaving it where it's at. The revenue actually goes back into the general fund where all general folks end up getting a piece of it in the new budget year. So
I'm just thinking about what we have to subsidize, you know.
Yeah, that's a tough call because that's one of the few really low-cost recreational opportunities for our lower-income folks.
Right, right, right.
But we can take a look. When Russ, he's still outside with that gentleman, Russ and Joel and I can get together and maybe put some costs together just so you have an idea of what that looks like.
Yeah, I'm just asking these questions because the public has been asking them. At least I'll give an answer. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Okay. Thank you. I have no more, so I'll turn it over to staff reports.
Oh, sorry. First and foremost, most important thing of the night for me is I would love to introduce our new community development director, Tony Stewart. Tony, if you could stand for just a minute, maybe come over to the podium if you would. As you know from the email you received from me and from John's excellent article in the Exponent, we got Tony from the city of Galt, which is a very similar sized city to Reedley. Tony has all the experiences we wish for our community development director to have: general plan updates, housing element updates, unfortunately, litigation related to community development, all of that good stuff. And so I'm really thrilled to have him on board here. And he has some interesting background working for cities like San Bernardino, which, as you know, are facing bankruptcy and have gone through some terrible trials. So try to be a community development director and do economic development in that sort of a city certainly brings a unique perspective. So do you want to say a few words, Tony?
Well, just thank you, Nicole, and I'm really excited and happy to be here. It's very happy that we didn't have to go through the water rate system that I just had to deal with in Galt for many months and many hours. So commend you all for getting this done tonight. But anyway, I'm just really excited to be here. Hopefully I'll be able to help Nicole and the rest of the staff here. It seems like a really great team, both the Community Development Department itself and citywide, to continue to grow Reedley, basically, and move it forward. And I'm very excited to be able to work with you all as well. So thank you for having me.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
And Tony has hit the ground running. He has been here a total of 4 days now, has already met with Al Smith and Tim Thiessen of the Chamber, has already talked with all the staff, had him in some meetings already, and then Monday we're going to meet with our CEQA attorneys on our CID litigation, and so he's hasn't stopped since he got here. So
great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it, Tony.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, two other items for you. It does look like we will go dark on July 26th. We normally do take a dark meeting or two in the summertime, and in fact, we have nothing to propose to you on July 26th. So unless there's an emergency item that comes up, you won't be seeing us July 26th. We'll reconvene on August 9th. Oh, sure. If we can have a motion and a second to not have a council meeting that day.
Also okay. Move.
Second.
So we have a motion from Ms. Fast and a second from Mr. Rodriguez.
Call for the question.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Do we need to vote?
No, just consensus.
Okay. And just lastly, I wanted to let you know that you may recall that we had our application for the COG Measure C New Technology Fund, and that's our electric airplane, very innovative electric airplane joint partnership program. Our interviews with the granting agency is our interview with the granting agency is the 21st. So I'll be there in attendance with Reedley College, with Mazzy Flying Service, and with City of Mendota and CalSTART, and we will do the interviews and keep your fingers crossed for that. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think we have one or two staff updates.
Council, I just wanted to give you a quick update on the Reed Avenue project. We've had the sign out there for a number of months saying it's coming soon, and it is coming soon. We have a kickoff meeting set for July 20th with the contractor. The challenge we're having a little bit, again, is the railroad is just getting the process of getting their right of entry agreement, and that just takes some longer time than we wanted to, but it's moving forward. We expect to be starting at the end of the month, if not the 1st of August. So I just want to let you know it is moving forward, and we expect to be starting soon.
In the event that, you know, things get slow like molasses, not to blame you because I know what the challenges are, is that I think what's imperative is that fluid communication with the district and the college, because you know how it slows down track. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because they also get antsy, they anticipate, well, I thought you guys were going to get started on this date, and it's not. And then, well, what about this date? And it passes. So just letting them know, as long as they're in the communication loop.
Yes, I've been in close communication with Dr. Quinto. He's aware of it. He and I have talked about maybe having opening a driveway off of Reed Avenue for them so their buses can enter off of North Avenue, and then go through their parking lot and then back onto Reed. So we've talked about some alternative routes for them. So they are in the loop. We are talking with them regularly.
And is there, I think last time we asked, is there going to be a way that we can announce it on that?
We're working on that right now.
Okay, because I think with all the traffic also that's coming in into Reedley, they work at the college, the school district, the hospital, and so forth.
We haven't received the contractor schedule yet, but we're doing that on the 20th, so we'll have a better idea of when those closures are going to happen and stuff like that.
And we're finalizing the utility bill newsletter, and we have a blurb in there and we'll be doing a Blackboard Connect reverse phone call as well. So,
John, one of the questions I'd like to ask: has anybody contacted you about those slabs on the railroad crossing? It seems we talked about it once before and had railroad kind of fix them up, because mm-hmm. now it seems like they're getting even lower.
Yeah, that was something that brought to the railroad's attention, and I'll be honest, I have not gotten a response from them as they're going to fix it with this project or not. Okay. But it was brought to their attention. It's noticeable that they rock as people go over them.
Right.
It's in there right away. They have to fix it. So we have brought it to their attention, and we will talk about it again with them.
I think there's one missing, too, coming from the college on Reed there.
So those are in there right away. They have to do the fixing on that.
Yeah, okay. No, I understand that.
All right. Great. Thank you, John.
And then, Russ, we're at the staff reports and comments section.
Oh.
Did you want to get up and talk about
water
conservation or anything like that?
We talked a little bit about it earlier, but the city did complete its self-certification evaluation and sent that information to the state. Maybe a background on it. The state did require each city to do a self-certification evaluation, which included data about their water source, the availability of their water source. The city really did comply. We got ours done on time and had it in before the deadline. Want to thank John for helping me a lot with that. We sat in an office for many hours saying nice things about the state. And so we got it in.
I can only imagine.
And the data shows that our conservation percentage would be back to zero based on our available water source and what the drought has done to our water source. So we sent that information to the state. We're waiting, obviously, on a response back from the state. So we will inform you as I'm sure Nicole will inform you as soon as we know.
So what we've been hearing are that some cities have relaxed their drought restrictions, but nobody has gotten approval from the state yet on their conservation levels. And so what we risk is if we relax based on what we think might get approved, we run the risk of confusing our public and really having them waver back and forth. So we're hoping to get a response fairly soon. And if, in fact, the state approves, which I don't think they're going to approve a 0% conservation, frankly. I just don't see it happening. Even though that was their formula, I just don't see them being okay with a 0%. So we want to make sure that we're only telling our public once and very clearly what's expected of them, and so we're waiting for that state confirmation before we do anything. So as you hear about other cities that are relaxing, we are not yet relaxing, and I think those other cities are going to end up having to kind of tell their public a different thing yet again. So. All right, any other staff members have? Okay, I believe that's all, Mayor.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for another nice evening and a lot of information tonight. And we'd like to thank you and have a great week. And I'll adjourn the meeting.
Thank you.
Have a nice evening.